This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Culture war stuff, all kinds of stuff on that. The January 6th committee, Cernovich is here. All that's coming up. Going to be a great night on I'm Right. The culture wars, they're everywhere, and I do mean everywhere. And we need to have a talk about the system and how the system works when it comes to the culture wars. You see, culture, as we've talked about before, is not complicated. It's simply what your society incentivizes and what your society disincentivizes. By the way, if my voice sounds weird, it's because I have a cough drop in, I'm sick, whatever, I'm playing hurt tonight. But anyway, culture. Now, how does the system work? What would the system do when it comes to culture? Well, for one, you need to understand what the system is. Long-time viewers of the show will already know. Your society, your whole country is held up by pillars, different pillars. Religion, education, the government, entertainment. These are the things that hold up a society. Industry, business, private corporations. These are the things that hold up a society. And in an ideal country, these pillars are separate and keep one another in check. So if Joe Biden gets up and says the sky is green, immediately your media pillar and your education pillar and your entertainment pillar come out and say, no, it's not, you friggin' liar. You have actors going on Instagram, what's he talking about? Joe Biden's lying. You have professors teaching their students, see, son, this is a liar. This guy's obviously not green, we can look. Except in this country, we don't have that anymore. They all believe the same thing and they all work together. And so now there aren't any checks. And now everything becomes a supported effort. And this works very well in the culture wars. You see, Roe versus Wade got overturned. And there are a lot of reasons behind this, but there is something about abortion the communists love. They just love it. Now, you can explain this as there are murderers, because communists have always been murderers. They just don't care about human life. That's part of an explanation. But it's more than that. It's not that they're indifferent to abortion. They love abortion. They brag about it. There are all these groups with women bragging about how many they've had. It's become something that is near and dear to their hearts. So Roe versus Wade gets overturned, and all that does is return the issue back to the states. And so you've seen several states have banned it. Some have partially banned it. Other states, the communist states, are going to allow women to just simply murder their child up to the age of 10, I'm sure, by the time we're done with this whole thing. But something very interesting happened. This is an example of how the pillars work together as one. After Roe versus Wade was overturned, guess what happened? You were watching TV. You're always watching TV. Entertainment. It is an important cultural pillar. Sports, movies, TV. In the old days, it was plays, things like that. Entertainment is tiny tribes have them, big nations have them. Entertainment is a way people learn about their culture and their culture's values. When I was a child, my folks would have all my cousins and aunts and uncles would come over to the house every now and then. And once the parents were all done with us kids running around outside, playing hide and seek, getting dirty, getting in trouble, they would bring us inside, only they wanted parent time, so they would kick us downstairs to the basement. We had this old TV in the basement. It was Friday nights. We did these gatherings on Friday nights. And we would sit down in front of the television set and we would watch shows like Family Matters or Full House or anyone, ABC on Friday night. And what was it? What was every show about? Values. Right and wrong. Do not steal. Do not lie. This, good, bad. Couple funny stories. That was the cultural values that you would see in front of the screen. Well, what your child and you see in front of the screen now is quite differently, because in the past year, well, since Roe versus Wade was overturned, at least 60 abortion plot lines, I got to read this, or mentions of abortion in 52 different TV shows since Roe versus Wade was overturned, more than any year since 2016. And I'm not talking about news shows. I'm talking about Grey's Anatomy, Law and Order, Teen Mom. And guess how they're discussing the issue of abortion? They're discussing it as if it's the greatest thing in the world. So how does this work? What should you take from this? Well, a couple things. One, remember, the system locks shields and works together. Oh no, Roe versus Wade, it's overturned. Well, what do? Immediately they send the FBI out to arrest pro-life pastors, but also the entertainment wing gets in on it too. I'm sure the education system's getting in on it too. That's one way you can interpret this. Another way you can interpret it, both are accurate, is the communist, remember, he is a religious zealot. A religious zealot. Until you understand that, you will never get it. If you think he's just a liberal, he's just a Democrat, he's just, no. What you're doing is you're assigning to him the same value system you have. He's not just a liberal. He's not just a Democrat. He is a religious zealot, like any Islamic jihadist out there. That's what he is. So if you're a writer for Grey's Anatomy, or Teen Mom, or Law and Order, any one of these shows, you're one of the people who writes the show. You, if you were a writer for one of those shows, you would drive to work and you'd think to yourself, how do I make an interesting show? If it's a comedy, hey, do I throw this joke in here? If it's a drama, hey, what's a plot line that'll pull people in? The communist on the way to work is thinking, how can I spread communism? How can I spread my religion? He is purposeful with everything he does, including at work. And the scary part is we still support all this stuff with our dollars, with our time. And I'm not going to pass judgment on you. I never would, because I still screw up all the time with the things I do and things I watch and things I buy. And I'll find out afterwards, oh my gosh, I didn't know that company was garbage. I'm the most guilty person in the world, so I'm not judging you. But you still watching the NFL? Ah, Jesse, they're not kneeling for the flag anymore. They still have Black Lives Matter on their helmets. A despicable street communist organization that's claimed multiple lives in this country, destroyed how many livelihoods? They still have it on their helmets. They still have end racism in the end zones. I know, these are uncomfortable conversations because you love your team. Got the team jersey. Watch with the brothers, son, wife. Woohoo, love the game, pass the dip. I get it. I've watched more NFL than you have. I understand. This is how they get us. They spread the message everywhere. And it's more than just the FBI. It's more than just entertainment like TV and the NFL. They are mandating things at a state level to push back against our pushback, because the right finally is getting teeth. We are developing teeth, baby teeth right now, but we're developing teeth and starting to fight back and ban this here and fight against this there. Well, the communists are fighting back as well. In Connecticut, they are mandating that your child learn about climate change, man-made climate change in schools. Quote, the conservative turn in our country often starts at a very hyper-local level of local town boards of education. There was this push towards anti-intellectualism, anti-science, anti-reason, and I didn't want local boards of education to have the power to overturn the curriculum and say climate change is too political. You see, all those school board races were starting to win across the country, and we are. It's very exciting. It's very great news. The communist is not going to look at us taking back the school boards and simply shrug his shoulders and say, oh, well, we tried. The communist understands that's a critical part of culture as well, the education system. It has been the central pillar of communism in America that has helped them rip this country apart. They know it's so important to get to your child before you get to your child. They understand the power that comes from mom and dad dropping Aiden, Shaden, and Braden off at school for 7-8 hours a day where they get to take you in and teach you whatever they want, even if it's not what mom and dad want. They understand the teacher might just teach your child that he's gay or trans or a woman or a boy or whatever.
It's incredibly important for there to be queer representation in education. Now, there's been a lot of recent pushback against queer teachers in the workplace, especially in public education. A lot of people are coming out saying that we're groomers, that we're child predators, when that is so far beyond the truth. We are just people who are teachers. I'm not going to make your child into something that they're not. I'm only going to give children who are already different the experience they need to feel safe enough to be who they are. And by doing this, I could save a child's life.
Don't let that turbo freak near your child. And if you're in a state where that turbo freak is allowed to groom your child, and that's very much whatever that thing is doing, get out. Get out. I mean, I just mentioned Connecticut and the climate change stuff. Let's talk about Maine, where a 13-year-old girl was provided chest binders. Let's use your imagination on that. Without her parents' knowledge, by the school. Or we can have a little discussion about sports. Maybe your baby girl plays sports, softball, swimming, volleyball. Well, I think you'll enjoy female hockey getting a decidedly male spin on it here. That's a female hockey player getting a concussion by a dude who's pretending he's a woman. I tell you a lot about getting out. Get out of your blue state, get to a red state. Get out of your blue state and get to a red state. Get out, all right? You need some level of state protection for you because these culture wars, we're not about to win. I believe we will win in the end, by the way, but we're not almost going to win. They're not slowing down. They're not backing off. It hasn't reached some bottom because evil doesn't reach a bottom. It just goes down and down and down and down without end until good stops it. You do right by yourself and your family and get out and protect yourself, all right? All right, we're going to talk to Dr. Mark McDonald about the trans insanity and so much more in a second. But let's go back to the NFL talk here real quick. Oftentimes, we aren't equipped with the tools we need to put our money where our morals are. You buy goods and services. It's more than just television. You buy goods and services. Are you always buying from someone who shares your values? And you're probably sitting there saying, well, I don't know. Well, I don't know either. So I need help. Someone help. Public SQ helped. Public SQ. Download it right in the App Store. It will tell you the businesses in your area, an ever-growing database of businesses in your area that share your values. When you're leaving the house and you got to go buy Junior a new pair of tennis shoes, the first thing you do before you pull up directions, Public SQ, and you go find a business that shares your values. That's how we do it. We vote every day with our money. All right, Public SQ, go download it, and we'll be right back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country. giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Christmas, it's a wonderful time, isn't it? A wonderful time, family, friends, gather gifts, good food, celebrate the birth of Christ, that kind of thing. Well, not all of us, I guess. Ms. Cracker, transvestite named Ms. Cracker, said, I think you can tell that we have separated Christmas from Christ. The way of thinking about family is old and tired, and we need to reinvent it. So yeah, F family. Joining me now, Dr. Mark McDonald, child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist, and also author of the book, The United States of Fear. Doctor, can you tell me about the importance of family? Because it seems to be dismissed so often these days.
Merry Christmas, Jesse. I'll probably be taken off the air and had my license removed just for saying that. But I'm going to say it anyway. I said it for an hour in an interview yesterday with a man in South Africa, making the case for Christmas. And I made the case for Christmas because I think it brings joy to people. And one of the reasons why it is attacked and why families are attacked, why anything that supports Christmas, including Christmas movies, when was the last time you saw a Christmas movie that's actually new? They're all old. And why? Because they have families in them. And families are anathema to the left and those who want to destroy them because they connotate power, authority, they connotate strength against an authoritarian government, against someone on high that's controlling you, that's not God. And this is why Christmas and families are under attack. And I think they have been for years. I think that anyone who denies this is either a liar or irrational. And I think that the anger and the vitriol and the vulgarity that you just quoted on that meme is emblematic of the threat that people feel on the left who want to be controlled and they don't want people to live and think freely and support traditional values.
Okay, so how does this translate to Hollywood, writers, producers, directors, whatever it may be, setting aside the kind of generalizations, which of course you nailed right there, a writer goes in and they're writing a TV show or a movie for Hallmark or whatever it may be, and they're sitting there and thinking to themselves, man, I want to wreck families with this. Is that really how these people think?
They do. There's actually two groups of people. Jesse, I've been thinking about this for a long time. I think for a living. I write for a living. I interview. I challenge myself and ideas, and I try to accept criticism where I believe it's fair and warranted. And I believe for a long time that these, in this case, for example, the avoidance of or the destruction of the perpetuation of family and movies and traditional values was just a mistake. It was an error. It was an oversight. This works better than that. We can make more money on this. But it was just people that were sort of bobbling along, not really knowing what they were doing, but not intending to harm anyone. I don't believe that anymore. I believe that the people that you're describing, for example, the writers and the people that actually greenlight these movies or the ones that blacklist, the ones that don't go out, I think they actually have an intention, which is malicious. I think that this is planned. I think that there's a plan that encompasses movies, pedagogy in schools, the environmental activist groups that are trying to shut down electricity. Someone in my practice just came to me, a parent, and said, my daughter told me, Dad, why are you putting up Christmas lights? Don't you know that's going to destroy the environment? These are all connected. They're all connected. The end result of killing Christmas, of course, is that it destroys joy, which, of course, they don't want to have joy in our lives. But killing stories, killing electricity, killing differences between girls and boys, the whole transgender rights activism group, the environmental activism group, the pro-sensitivity crowd and the writers in Hollywood, their underlying mission, it's all unified. All of the points that they're trying to accomplish are the same. They're trying to destroy our country. They're trying to destroy our way of life. They're trying to disempower people from making their own decisions and thinking for themselves, because they know that if they accomplish that, especially with young people, that the future is theirs, that they've captured a generation. I'm a child psychiatrist, and I think this generation is right on the verge of being captured. And once it is, there's nothing more that a parent is going to be able to do. Take away the parent, take away the rights of parents to make decisions, and what do you have left? You have a captured generation that defers to the teacher and the state and Hollywood and not to mom and dad.
It sounds so malicious. And we played 1,000 clips on this show of school teachers saying this. It's always some turbo freak woman with 19 piercings in her face and pink hair explaining why she told her class that they're going to be open and they can be boys or girls. So you're telling me that person drives to school every single day with a purpose in mind?
Isn't it interesting that about 90% or so of these teachers are women?
Yeah.
Women used to be, this is until recently, I thought this was just a huge mystery to me. Why is it that women who are biologically inclined to protect the well-being of children have suddenly turned against them? I could not understand this for the longest time. I believe now that the women, the teachers, which again, they're primarily women, it's very few men that are doing this, have been so thoroughly indoctrinated by those above them, by the teachers' unions, by the politicians, by the media, that they have actually suppressed the biological intrinsic nature of women to protect children, and they are now turning against them, and they are now sacrificing them. This act of sexualizing children, of regendering them, repronouning them, dressing them up in drag in the closet, exposing them to cross-dressers and drag shows behind closed doors at public schools throughout the country, and then banning parents from challenging them or even witnessing what they're doing, this is like a contemporary version of child sacrifice. It's like a religious cult worship. And I hate to say this, but it's just true, and I believe in truth more than anything. It is primarily being driven and supported by women.
Okay, I don't disagree. Anyone with eyes can see that. Where are the men? Where are the men in this country? Where's the male pushback? Why are we not seeing that?
This is such an excellent point. I've been writing about this now for over a year. I wrote about it in my first book, United States of Fear, The Crisis of Masculinity in This Country. What I just described regarding women could not happen without a vacuum of courage, of physical strength, of honor, and of mastery on the part of men. In other words, masculinity in four terms. That is masculinity, and we don't have it anymore. We have feminized men, we have androgynous men, we have men that have been so whipped up into pacification and pacifying women that they do not stand up to this anymore. They don't stand up to irrationality, to emotionality, to hysteria. They are just letting the nation become steamrolled by a politically charged, hyper-feminine environment, which is not healthy. It's destroying men, it's destroying women, it's destroying families, it's destroying children. This is a huge crisis in our country. If we could see more men standing up and more men reclaiming traditional masculinity, we would have a bulwark against this hyper-feminization, which is so destructive.
Amen. Dr. Vin Gupta is on MSNBC, right along the same line with them being after the kids. Here he is talking about COVID and kids and masking up.
Communities across the country, especially with pediatric hospitals that are overwhelmed, which is most, just need to mask up. Schools need to take the leadership here. Schools need to lead by example and mask, and that school officials, I'm looking at you, public health officials at the local level, it only makes sense. It's our only buttress here, in addition to vaccination, and we need to do it.
Can you explain why they're still so on kids with the stupid masks that everyone knows don't work, the vaccine, whatever people think about it, that does not benefit children in any way? This is a disease that doesn't affect children really in any significant way, yet they're still on them, so laser focused on kids in schools. Why?
It is an interesting point, because as you said, there's no factual agreement or disagreement about what's going on now. Everybody knows that this is a lie. Yeah. So there's another motivation, and it's clearly not medical, and it's clearly not trying to complete a debate about who's right and who's wrong. The motivation that's underlying this, and he's an exemplification of this because he's in the part of leadership of the malicious cult worshipers, he's trying to be party to a group that knows better but is actively trying to harm the next generation, knowing that these children that grow up with these masks on are going to become more compliant, more obedient, more anti-parent, so that they can be controlled and manipulated. And the injuries that are incurred, the physical, emotional, social injuries, they don't care about, because that's the price that needs to be paid in order to capture this generation. This is why I've been saying now for about 6 months, that there are really two groups of people. There are the leaders like this man who know better, who are sociopathic, malicious, and I would actually say evil. And then there's all the people that are following them. And these are the people that are kind of in the go along to get along, nice, sensitive, liberal Democrat, to not necessarily inject politics, but this is really what's going on, who don't want to harm children, don't know that they're harming children, but are following this nonsense because they have been so brainwashed with the lie that anyone that's against it is a racist, a homophobe, a right-wing, conservative, fanatic Trump supporter, that they've lost their ability to think. They have been inculcated with fear and virtue and anti-Republican, anti-conservatism, that they will follow the devil, people who are truly evil, who are truly trying to harm children because they think that they're doing the right thing. And if we could grab those people and open up their eyes, get rid of their fear, and get them to think rationally again, then I think we have a shot.
Doctor, setting aside the useful idiots, the ones you just pointed out, the ones we may be able to still wake up, the ones we need to wake up, I want to talk to you just one last question about the guys beforehand, the ones you say don't care about harming kids. Can you, as a psychiatrist, can you explain that to me? I mean, I'm a bad person, and I'm a cold, unfeeling monster, and I see a child with a mask on, and my heart breaks a little bit for that kid. I think, man, that sucks. You've been cheated so bad. What's wrong with these people?
Well, there's two answers. One is the clinical, and one is more of the philosophical. From the clinical point of view, I think that these people are truly sociopathic. I think that they lack conscience. I think that they are amoral. And I think that they are doing this on behalf of some, as they see, greater purpose or greater good, which is primarily narcissistic and self-aggrandizing. I think that these people in a normal, civil, healthy society would be sidelined or would be arrested. These are the people that would have been imprisoned years ago, and now they're given a free pass because of the injection of fear and because of the mind control that's been so successful through propaganda and collusion between media, politics, and corporations in the last 3 years. That's the clinical answer. The other answer, which I'm growing more and more comfortable with, although it's certainly not one in my area of expertise, but I'm feeling it very strongly, is the possibility that there has been an injection or an appearance of actual evil around the world in the last 3 years. I find it more and more difficult to offer a rational, clinical, psychological explanation for this epidemic of harm and malice. It's not just one person, it's not just one state or one country. It's happening all over the Western world. It's happening in Europe, it's happening in South Africa, it's happening in Northern Europe, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the United States, parts of Central and South America. It defies reason. And this is why I am now, as we approach the religious holidays, Christian holidays at the end of the year, I am becoming more and more concerned that there is actually evil afoot and that we are not in a battle of politics or even ideology, but one of truly good versus evil.
I don't disagree with that at all. Doctor, thank you so much. Please come back soon.
Thank you, Jesse. Good to see you. And Merry Christmas again.
Merry Christmas. It's hard to look at what's going on and not agree with that, right? Evil. And how long have I been telling you that? We're dealing with evil here. All right. You know what else is evil? How bad the food odor is in your house. Definitely if you have teenage boys. Look, I can speak for my house. Why don't they change shoes? My kids have more than one pair of shoes. My oldest son's a runner, and he'll go out for a run, go run 2-3 miles, come home, and then I see him going to school the next day with the same pair of shoes on. Either way, get yourself some Eden Pure Thunderstorms. They remove odors from the air, viruses and mold in the air. If you want to clean the air in your home constantly, Eden Pure Thunderstorm. I own 6 of them now. They are just miraculous. I love these things. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Code Jesse gets you $200 off a 3-pack. EdenPureDeals.com. Code Jesse.
I think that the evidence is there that Donald Trump committed criminal offenses in connection with his efforts to overturn the election. And viewing it as a former prosecutor, I think there's sufficient evidence to charge the president.
And now we know four criminal referrals from the January 6th committee today. Now, it's time for us to have an uncomfortable conversation with me. All right, remember, I'm not your mommy. It's not my job to powder your butt for you and tell you everything will be okay. I am America's daddy, so I'm about to tell you how it is. They're going to indict Donald Trump. They're almost undoubtedly going to indict Donald Trump and arrest Donald Trump. And the chances are not zero that that arrest of Donald Trump comes on television. The FBI will do what they've done so many times before. They'll coordinate with their allies at CNN, MSNBC, and make sure that all the cameras are rolling when President Donald J. Trump is hauled away in handcuffs. I am not saying this to you to bring you down. I'm saying this to you to prepare you for that shock, because it is going to be a shock. Look, I'm telling you what's going to happen, and I'm going to be shocked. That's going to be a lot watching that, right? So one, I'm trying to prepare you, and two, I want you to understand the forces we're facing. If you're shocked, which I'm sure you're not, but if you're shocked about today's criminal referrals, that means you are not aware of what time it is, all right? What we have is a fully weaponized federal government. Every single branch, they're all weaponized against you. Donald Trump tried to upset the apple cart. They were never going to let that go. They were always going to try to make an example of him so no one else ever tries to come in again and upset the apple cart. Systems make examples, system disruptors. It's just that simple. I know that sucks. It's part of living in a late stage republic, but you heard it here, now you know. All right, we got more. My buddy Cernovich, we're going to ask Cernovich about this in just a second. Before we get to that, let's get to you and that timeshare you're stuck in. You see, I know the stories, because ever since I've been speaking for Lone Star Transfer and working with Lone Star Transfer, you send me in your stories, and they're all the same. This is what's crazy. They're all the same. I'm not saying stop sending them. Please do. I love hearing from you. But it's always, Jesse, it was so beautiful. We loved using it. Jesse, they talked us into it. Jesse, we enjoyed it for a time. Almost everyone says, I enjoyed it for a time. We enjoyed it for a time. And we didn't realize when we were done with it and just wanted to give it back that they would never let us. They just keep charging us over and over and over again. And then when you call or you're sending them emails, hey, I don't want in this anymore, then they're saying, sorry, you're stuck. I know. What you go through, what you've gone through with your timeshare, everyone has. Call Lone Star Transfer, 16,000. Over 16,000 timeshare owners have legally and permanently gotten out. Lone Star Transfer guarantees it. They put it in writing. They put it in writing. They give you a date, a time frame. Hey, we'll get you out by this time. LoneStarTransfer.com or one phone call. One phone call, 844-310-2646. Okay? We'll be back.
Showing real-time information about somebody's location is inappropriate, and I think everyone on this call would not like that to be done to them. And there is not going to be any distinction in the future between journalists, so-called journalists, and regular people. Everyone's going to be treated the same. You're not special because you're a journalist. You're a citizen. No special treatment. You dox, you get suspended. End of story.
Joining me now, my friend Mike Cernovich. He created the movie you really should watch. When I talk about The Sky is Green, Cernovich made a movie about it, how they lie to people and get you to believe things. Also, he's a Substack now, The Other Side of Fear. Mike, all right, everyone knows I don't wave pom-poms for billionaires or politicians. I am impressed, though, so far. Should I be or should I not be?
Yeah, how could you not be? I think that we're... Unfortunately, all of us are infected with hipsterism, which is we want to think that we're too cool for school. And then that means we don't want to encourage other people who are doing great things, because that's a left-wing ideology that raising someone up diminishes us, right? That's fundamentally the nihilism of the left. So with Elon, he's doing great work, courageous work. He's feeling the burden. more so than I think he anticipated or that anyone could anticipate. So as of now, I think all anyone can do is admire his courage and hope that we all have that kind of courage.
Mike, you're always good about this stuff. What's this guy's motivation? I mean, everyone knows, you know, South Africa, richest man in the world, Tesla, the rockets. I mean, that, everyone knows the high points, but I can't figure out why this guy is doing all this. That's something that bothers me. I can't figure out the why.
Well, he's always had an interest in elevating the human species. And the point that we're at, and we've been there for a while, is the next step for humanity is either the Stone Age or the Space Age. And the left is trying to bring us into the Stone Age, returning to gulags, the Bolsheviks returning, slaughtering people, having another Pol Pot-style genocide, another Armenian genocide of Americans that they don't agree with. So humanity is either going to take a really big step forward or a really big step back. The trend right now is step back. The trend right now is returning to the Stone Age. And if you have a higher vision for humanity, then you want to bring us to the space age. So I think the difference between, say, someone like Elon Musk and maybe most other people who get rich is he got rich doing what he wanted to do for humanity, right? I personally, not a fan of electric vehicles. I don't think you are. I think that moving away from fossil fuels presents a lot of problems, but he believed in that kind of stuff. So he got rich doing what he thought would make people better, right? Whereas most of these billionaires, they get rich doing finance. They're trying to be middleman. How can I, or like this SBF guy, they're scammers. That's how most people get rich. And that's why most people don't like the billionaire class, because they're not really trying to provide a service for humanity or to do anything grand or bold for humanity.
Mike, can you explain for people, because most people are not on Twitter, as you well know, can you explain for all the people watching right now who aren't on social media? I'm not telling people that they should get on either, but for people who aren't on, why is this significant at all? Why does it even matter, Twitter? It sounds so dumb and small.
It does, but it trickles down. Twitter was a unique platform where it's fun because you could actually tell a famous person to, you can, you know, insult them and they'll actually read it. You could never do that before. There was all these levels of gatekeeping. That's the fun aspect. The serious aspect is where new opinions are tested out and start to filter down into the public. So when people say, because I get this a lot when people try to like diminish me as if I care, they go, oh, you know, you're just on Twitter and my next door neighbor doesn't know who you are. And I go, no, but I bet your next door neighbor knows that the Hunter Biden laptop, he never saw that. Well, that's because that happened on Twitter. That's the front lines of everything that's happening in the world right now. It's the vanguard of elite opinions, the vanguard of politics. Trump doesn't win 2016 without Twitter. That's a fact. There's no one with a, to me, that's what you would call an IQ test to where we can even talk. If you believe that Trump could have won 2016 if Twitter hadn't existed, then we can't talk. There's nothing even to talk about. The threshold hasn't even been cleared. Now we can debate how much and we can fight at the margins. So Twitter is where, it's a vanguard, man. It's where elite opinions are formed. It's where people try to, like the conservative, you know, conservatives, they used to have a monopoly on it. People forget that. It's hard for people who are much older than us or younger than us, Gen X people, to understand. It used to be you got the National Review on the newsstand at Barnes & Noble or your local shop, or you subscribed to it. And that was kind of it, man. And they could kick people out of their little tent like they did with the John Birch Society, which they claimed was because of racism, but actually it's because the John Birch Society opposed the Vietnam War and William F. Buckley was connected with the CIA. That's a whole different... Anyway, so that's how your brain was kind of being formed. And now... these guys don't have any clout. They don't have it. It's funny to me. I used to read George Will, and then you see George Will on Twitter, and you think, what a laughable human being this person is. How did I ever admire this person? I thought he was a kind of a badass, right? And then you see these people on Twitter, and you think, what a pathetic, frail dork. I can't believe it. So the illusion also, the Wizard of Oz aspect of how opinions are formed fades as well.
It is so true. You see these people you look up to, and then all of a sudden you realize, I shouldn't have seen more than the tip of the iceberg. That was the only part of the iceberg I should have ever seen, because the rest of it is so disappointing. All right, speaking of Trump, we now know criminal referrals. I've been telling people for a long time, you better prepare yourself to see Trump arrested. Definitely indicted, but arrested. Probably arrested on television, too. What say you?
Of course. You and I both have I don't know if it's impatience for stupidity or call it what you will, but I'll notice that your people and my people will go, oh, they're going to arrest him for what? They're going to arrest him for what? For anything. Yes. For anything. Who are you people? Yes. Right? Like, how did you? I always wonder, like, how did you find me? Where did you come from? Who are? What are they going to arrest him for? Huh? Yeah. For anything. For anything. That's what they'll arrest him for, because they're communists. They don't need a reason. They send him to D.C. They've already experimented with, hey, can we give somebody like Sussman a free pass? Can we nullify a verdict of our allies? Yeah. Okay, so maybe every now and then they'll throw someone like Sussman into a trial, knowing that he won't get convicted. And they'll go, oh, we're trying. You know, we're trying. And then meanwhile, they just line up Trump supporters, Stalin show trial stuff. So I would be shocked if Trump isn't invited. That would be the most, that would be to me more shocking than him winning in 2016.
Well, I've been telling people for a long time, they have still have January 6 people in horrible conditions without trial. What do you think they're going to do to Donald Trump, who they hate much more than they hate the guys who walked into the Capitol building? All right, finally, this little video, I should have led with this because it's so beyond creepy. I can't get over it. Bill Gates, my personal opinion, not putting words in Mike's mouth, is one of the most evil people walking the planet today. He can't help but come out and basically admit that he's a genocidal maniac, although he says it very nicely in videos like this.
Here we can see a chart that looks at the total world population over the last several hundred years. And at first glance, this is a bit scary. We go from less than a billion in 1800, and then 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.4 billion where we are today. What we found out is that as health improves, families choose to have less children. And this effect is very, very dramatic. The population growth goes down as we improve health. So we've taken that chart that shows the global population growth, and we've actually extended it out all the way to 2100. And we can see that instead of continuing, it actually flattens out. Now, 11 billion people, still a lot, but the good news is that the faster we improve health, the faster family size goes down.
Just a good dude, Mike.
That, and then Elon views population collapse as a threat to civilization. So that shows the difference between someone like Bill Gates and someone like Elon, and then who's treated well by the media. Because a lot of times, I'll be honest, Jesse, legal background, I can see it from both sides. And I used to think, you know, Bill Gates couldn't possibly be that bad. He probably just wants fewer people so that everyone can live a better life, right? Because I could make that case. I could say, you know what, it's better that we have fewer people, but the people who live have a better life and let's raise the standard of living. But then COVID showed that that wasn't true at all. They want to enslave people and feed people, feed sack of bugs. So I look at, to make a lot of opinions now, or to form judgments, I see, well, who's supported by the media? This guy Bill Gates hung out with Jeffrey Epstein. Man, if I tweeted I liked Kanye, I'd get in more trouble than Bill Gates does hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein, right? So that, I think, is a good indicator of who's good and who's evil.
Hung out with Jeffrey Epstein so much, it played a big part in their divorce, according to his ex-wife, just saying. Mike, real quick, you have a great Substack, great piece on fatherhood. Plug that for me before we let you go.
Sure, it's MikeCernovich.substack.com. So my first last name.substack.com. That is a little different, not political, right? We're trying to keep it a little bit of cultural seep in, but we're trying to keep it more about life stuff because, I mean, we need that, right? There's all these weirdo freaks. So if you look at it this way, you know, George Will is not an aspirational person. So that means that other people have to provide some kind of aspiration for people who are wondering, you know, can you live a life like this in this crazy political world? And as you know, you can. Sure you can. Just don't get wrapped up in it.
Of course. Mike, appreciate you, brother.
Always a pleasure.
All right. We have Light in the Mood next. And I just want to say, I have two sons that are in band. The school makes them. You're going to need to watch this Light in the Mood. Before we get to that, you know we have a special coming. Almost every week we do a special. And lots of times to see the special, you have to be a First TV supporter. Well, anyone can do it. Go do it. Go to thefirsttv.com/support and become a First TV supporter. Then you get to enjoy all the Jesse Kelly you can handle. All right, we'll be back with Light in the Mood. You ever been to a concert? No. I'm not talking about your Led Zeppelin days from your early years. I mean, have you ever been to a kid's concert? I have. I've been to multiple. My sons are both forced to be in band. They both play the tuba. And you get home from work, and you have to dress up, and you have to go down to the school. And I don't want to act like these things are like 10 minutes long. We're talking a couple hours of listening to kids try to play music. And I just want you to know, yes, this Light in the Mood video is hilarious, but at the same time, I felt it deep down in my soul. Two hours. I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB. In the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.